You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
Time to talk about our favorite reality TV shows that center around love and relationships, because behind the cameras, the setup dates, and the drama, there are lessons on love, and we love to watch it.
And we know you're watching it, Married at First Sight. So we haven't spoken about this in a very long time, and I think that we gave Love is Blind so much airtime. We've got to spread the wealth and be equal opportunists on our reality show love. So yeah. Rob, tell us what is the latest on Married at First Sight. We need all the scoop.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Okay. Like, we spent a lot of, everybody was like, Love is Blind, Love is Blind, Love is Blind. Not enough people watch Married at First Sight. And the people that love Love is Blind would love Married at First Sight, because it's like, I know that people like I told you before, I had a girl be like, I don't watch it because I couldn't see myself doing it, but I could see myself doing Love is Blind. And I'm like, all right, but you're just kind of getting over the,
it's almost the same thing. It's just like a little bit of time in between getting married and not getting married, but it's
right. I mean, that whole show lasts, the whole show lasts like
3 weeks.
Three or 4 weeks. Yeah. So you're basically doing that. And instead of like you in Married at First Sight, you still have time before the wedding that they film you. You're just not with your partner yet. You don't know who that is. So you're still doing the wedding dress shopping. You're still doing the bachelorette party. You're still doing all this stuff. And you're doing it with the other women and the other men.
Wait, Rob, I have a question. Before Married at First Sight, you don't know anything about this other person? Like, they've never even like spoken without seeing each other, or are the like relationship experts giving them hints about
nothing?
Who this person is? So
nothing.
It's literally a completely and totally blind.
Right. Which is why it's a very different, I mean, you are blind, right? But you're saying yes to the person. You're not going in and talking to them at all. So you're not learning about their religion. You're not learning about their value. You're trusting the experts to go through all that.
It's an arranged marriage.
But sometimes in arranged marriages, you know who the person is. You just may not be, like, it could be somebody, you know, your father's best friend's child.
Well, yeah, in arranged marriages, the parents know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that usually in arranged marriages, you guys at least know you're in the same religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and if you don't know, if you know each other, you might even know each other. But if you don't, it's not like, you know, it's like being on Hinge, old Hinge, where it's like, your family knew them, so it comes together like that. Like, it's not totally random. This is totally random. Some relationship expert is basically attaching you two together based on what? Like, do you fill out some questionnaire or something?
Yeah, I mean, you go on to, so I just had a friend go through the whole process, and she made it to the very, very end, because they're shooting in Austin right now. Like, just like, my friend just went, I was at my friend's with Easter. And my friend was like, Rob, guess what? I'm like, what? She's like, I went to the local store around the corner, and my friend like runs it. And she's like, she was like, looked like she was starstruck. And I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, they're filming Married at First Sight right now. And apparently it's an older couple, like in their 60s.
Oh, so they don't typically do that?
No, never. They're always young people. I think they took a little kick off the Golden Bachelor and were like, let's try and get.
What is the normal age range? Because Love is Blind, the age range is like, kind of young, 20 sometimes, but barely into the 30s usually. What is the age range for Married at First Sight?
The age range for Married at First Sight is usual. So it's all over the place. They're not that young, but some of the couples this season were 25 and, you know, 24. A lot of them are like in their early 30s to late 20s. We had a couple another couple that was 38. The guy was 38 and the girl was 39. So like that was the one that was actually the most mature relationship out of all of it.
Do you
know,
feel obviously. Like the one when you watch those like younger ones, the early 20s ones, like they're kind of like behavioral patterns that you see, like,
well, in this, I think I've said this to everybody that, and I said it for Love is Blind, but I learned it a lot during Married at First Sight. And I say this to people who watch it. I'm like, man, and I said this to you guys last time. I'm like, they got to stop putting men on this show that are under 35 years old, because like their emotional maturity is just non-existent. They haven't gone through the lessons they need to be better at what they do. Like, there are people in this season that I was like, my fucking God. And then like you go back and you're like, oh, they were put together by professionals, and you're like, and experts. And you're like, what the fuck are you an expert at if you got this guy on here?
Casting,
you
know? Really.
I mean,
makes you think.
Well, I mean, I told you before that I think that they purposely go and find people that are a little bit off because it's good TV,
like unhinged, but not so far gone that they like it's a liability.
But also, these people lie to a certain degree,
just like people lie to their therapist. I mean, I'm sure that this is
they lie to their therapist, but also you lie, you know, on your profiles sometimes. You know, sometimes you say things to, right. Sometimes you say things to get people's attention because you know what they want to hear. So these people wanted to be on TV, I'm sure. Like, all right. So the guys on this show were just horrible. I hated all of them. There wasn't,
including the one guy that you said was like very odd looking, very unique looking, or I think that's what you said. But the woman just like was like, no, right away. Wasn't that this season?
Yes, that was Michael. And he was the first one ever on Married at First Sight that he walked up and he had like, look, he has like, he's eccentric is the word I use, because he has like kind of curly hair, but it's like shaved around the sides, and he has like tattoos all over the place, and he has glasses. His skin's not that great, but he like wears a skirt, you know, and like likes to wear women's jewelry.
Is he like emo, like by all intents and purposes to classify him?
I'm going to look him up.
He's not emo. No, not emo. He's just very eccentric. Like he dresses well, but he dresses different. So like he'll be wearing a Louis Vuitton sweater that's like purple and green and like yellow. And then he'll be wearing like a kilt. Do you know what I mean? Or he'll wear like I don't know, very flashy pants from 1980. Like he's just very eccentric. And that was one of the things that was like kind of a shock to his person. So what happened was he went down the aisle. The girl came down the aisle. They never showed her. They never showed her with the women. They never made her a character on the show. They edited her out, basically. But the woman came down the aisle, and I don't know if it was her own inner stuff or seeing him, but she looked at him and says, I can't do this. She's like, I can't marry a stranger.
Right.
Was he, so
wait.
Yeah, there's a picture of him.
Was he in this pink tux?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
there he is.
So. Okay. There you go. Like, it's not emo. It's just eccentric.
Yeah, it's just, you know? Very, very specific.
Yeah. Well, specific to not being specific.
Specific, like a specific look. Like, a very specific look that is only, I think, a certain amount of people would be attracted to.
He looks very into fashion and, like, avant-garde style. Yeah,
he looks like he should be on Project Runway or something.
Yeah,
when you're – exactly. Project Runway would be a great show. But, like – but when you're describing your perfect person to – probably experts, this guy doesn't come up.
Yeah, you know, and maybe, I mean? Unfortunately, this is kind of like a Love is Blind thing. I know we compare these two shows all the time, but hey, she may have gotten to know him and really fallen for him. But unfortunately, she seemingly, we're guessing, took one look and was like, oh, hell.
I think a lot of it too was that she just kind of had, because people, you freak out, you're marrying a stranger.
Yeah.
So I think like 80% of it was that she was, didn't want to, she freaked out. And we didn't watch that woman's backstory. We still don't know who she is. So her friends could have talked her out.
Is this guy eliminated, or like, do we see what happens to him thereafter?
Yeah. What do they do?
What's the storyline?
I don't know. If you don't let me talk, maybe I'll tell you.
Oh, sorry. Very engaged in this.
Yes. So, everybody else went and got married, and he kind of was like, oh fuck. Well, I guess that's the end of the road for me. And, the woman, the cause he handled it so well. He wasn't like, fuck this process. Like, everybody here sucks. Like, I'm hurt. This is bullshit. Like, he didn't blow up the world. he took it very humbly and was like, listen, you have your journey. This led you here and you decided it's not right for you. I completely understand. Good luck with life. And I hope you find what you're looking for. Like, as she's standing at the altar, and she was even like, wow, that's such a nice thing to say. I can't believe you said that, and good luck to you, and left, and then wrote him a big note being like, thank you so much for how you handled that, at while he was like at his reception by himself.
Aww. Tragic.
So what wound up happening is everybody else got married, went on the honeymoon, and the experts came back to him and said, hey, we've never had this happen before, but we think we found somebody else that would be perfect for you. Would you consider doing it again? Because we really, really like you and think you're a great guy. And we want you to find love just like everybody else. And we picked you for a reason. And he was like, yeah, yeah, I'll do it again. I believe I'm ready for this experiment. So yeah, I'll do it again. And he met Claire. And Claire's 39 and she like runs her own business, or she's like a CEO of a business or something. And she's a lot of fun and she was beautiful and she liked him right away. Like, she was attracted to him. She was a little like, but like, she didn't look at his style and all that stuff and be like, what is wrong with this guy? She did, but like in a joking way. And then she'd be like, all right, well, this is who you are as a person. So, and you're my husband now. So this is something that's, I have to get used to, but I, at least you're not like, you know, I don't know, like drinking at the bar till 5 o'clock every morning. Do you know what right. I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
If this is the thing, then like, I'm okay with it. And she goes, guess what? You can have the bigger closet. You have more clothes than I do. Aww. And he'd be like, can I borrow your jewelry sometimes? And she was like, sure. So she was
just really open about it. She wasn't judging him based on that.
Right. She wanted somebody who was kind and had family values and like was just an all-around good person and somebody, and she was attracted. He's like, body-wise, he was a good-looking dude. Like, he's a boxer, you know? So he's like a good-looking dude and very athletic and all that other stuff. And she wanted somebody that was like a yogi type deal, and this is kind of what he is. So it wound up working out really well for Michael. And in fact, he had the best relationship on the whole show.
That's awesome. And also, he sounds really interesting. So I think that kind of supports the whole, like, don't judge the book by its cover. 100%. And if you actually buy into the idea behind the show, God, if you had said that she walked out too, I would have closed this computer.
Yeah. No. I think that's what everybody was afraid of. I think he was really afraid of that. But I think everybody else was afraid that that he would get rejected again. But they did.
But on him, though, for not letting the fear of rejection twice get him down.
Exactly.
Especially when it's like on national TV and you feel like you're being judged for your appearance. It's kind of an ego blow. Obviously there's other reasons she turned away, but it could be, you know, that insecurity could creep through and really just kind of like take you out, you know? So that's 100%. Good that he stayed in. Who out of the guys did you absolutely just think was just awful, Rob?
All of them.
Except for him.
I liked him. But like, you got to know the guys on their honeymoon and all that other stuff, right? Like, because they go right to the honeymoon right after the marriage. And I think it's for a week or like 5 days or something that they're there. And all of them sucked. Like, it's almost like it was a weird season because it's almost like the boys were influencing their boys and the girls were influencing the girls and the couples weren't influencing each other.
Wait,
does that make sense?
Yes, it does, but I need clarity. So they don't know each other before they get married, do they? The boys know the boys?
Nobody knows anybody.
Okay, but when they go on their honeymoons, do they know?
No. So let me clear this up. When, like, you know how the guys in Love is Blind or they're all in that pod together and they hang out and they know each other? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So the guys and the girls know each other before their weddings. They go they do like a meetup, they have drinks beforehand, they get to know each other, they like go to bars and they have their bachelorette party all together with all their friends.
So and then when they honeymoon, are they all honeymooning in like the same place?
They all honeymoon at the same hotel.
Damn.
But they have different rooms.
Yeah. Obviously. So it's they're all on the same resort. So they're like hanging out together.
Yes.
So this is very much like Love is Blind.
Right. Okay, Love is Blind stole the concept.
So I'm sure. So they're, you know, like getting together and kind of like talking shit and then they're kind of feeding off each other.
Yeah, well, it'll be like they'll get, you know, it's the same thing as Love is Blind. They'll get together, like, you know, they'll have their own little dates and do their little honeymoon things, and then there'll be parties, and then there'll be times that it's just the guys and just the girls that go off and do stuff, you know? So, like, if if somebody's not feeling it with one of the people, they'll start talking shit. And but this season was weird. All right, let me just go through the cast real quick and just tell you like where they all wound up, because it's over.
I really want to watch this now that you mentioned that, because that's my favorite part is Love is Blind, how they all like meet each other after they couple up. And now that you're saying that this is going on, you're making me really want to watch this show.
Well, do you want me to tell you what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first couple is Lauren and Orion, right? I think I told you about those guys. Lauren's a very, she just lost her mom. She's a very strong, very beautiful black woman, tall. I think she goes both ways, but she's never dated anybody outside of her race. And then there was Orion, who really leans into his Native American heritage. And I think, you remember that one, right? And he, but so much so that it's almost like, okay, we get it. You know what I mean? Like, we understand, but like, good for you. But same thing, we get it. So they, Lauren and Orion, were really hot and heavy in the beginning. And you were like, holy shit, these two like love each other right away. And they didn't make it out of the honeymoon.
No, God. That's short lived. Sad.
As Lauren said, the best phrase I've ever heard on the series, which is love at first sight, divorce at first fight.
Ooh.
I was like, yes, yes, because it's true. They got married and then like they had one fight. It was about
like goodbye.
Well, because it was like about race and culture, and Lauren made a joke, but was more of an observation, and Orion took it personally and then didn't, and then never let it go.
Ooh.
So it was very, and then Lauren kept trying to like apologize and he kept like holding her hand to the fire. And she was finally like, fuck this. And he's like, I can't get past it. But then throughout the season, Orion was like, wait, I want you back. And then she'd be like, okay, well, call me. Let's go out. And then he wouldn't call. And then they see each other again with all the groups.
So the cameras are still following them, even though they've broken. They're like, we're breaking.
So they got divorced like right in the beginning. So they don't follow Lauren and Orion anymore. But whenever there's group things that happen, Lauren and Orion come to those things.
I wonder why. Like they must be contracted for like X amount
of episodes. This is just, Love is Blind does the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, and then also like you'll go see Orion talk to his buddy about why it didn't work out. And Lauren will talk to her friend about what's going on. So it's about getting married at first sight, but then it's about like how you deal with that, everything that comes with that.
Yeah. Right? And it makes sense that they keep them on because the people who are watching the show are invested. So even if they're like, all right, well, you're off, you're done, you're divorced and you just went off the show. I think the audience like is probably like, wait, I want to know what happened with them. Like
they give them an option. They're like, all right, you're divorced. Do you care if you want to go on the show again? And a lot of people do still want to be on the show, you know? So they're like, yeah, I'll hang around. But then some of the cast are like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And then they stop. You know,
because well, that probably makes sense for people who are actually living their lives on camera from the other ones. But going back to like this happening with them, it's one argument, let's just say, or love at first fight or sorry, break up at first fight. They don't have historical context or history with each other or a foundation. So it makes sense why a rift would break them up because they're like, why should I keep down this path if I actually don't find you attractive or I don't like you or whatever
That's the thing. You're married, like legally married. So the point is in the show, it's like, and this is what the experts keep focusing on is that like, you got married. This isn't dating. This isn't fucking. This isn't like situationshipping. This is like, you're married. So when you have a fight, you have to learn how to deal with it and communicate and work through it. And if you're not sexually attracted to each other, you will have to learn how to figure that out. And you have to do this and you have to play games and you have to do this other stuff.
The stakes like, are higher because you're married. So they're like, you need to take this way more seriously than just casual dating.
Right. All right. Let me get you go through the other couples because we're already 20 minutes in. Let me just tell you who everybody is. Okay. Claire and Cameron. Claire is she is getting her degree in mental psychology from the University of Colorado. Cameron runs his own bike shop and likes biking, and he's from New Zealand. And he would like make New Zealand-y jokes. So he was like dad joke, but like weird, tall, lanky guy. I couldn't stand him. And he would do like New Zealand-y passive aggressive comments that were weird. Oh my God. There's so much to tell you guys. All right, I got to get through this because we're just getting through the couples. The way these people treated each other was fucked up. Okay. Emily and Brennan. Brennan might be one of the worst people I've ever seen on the whole franchise. He was fucking insane, and he really love bombed Emily during the honeymoon. And then when they got back from the honeymoon and real life kicked in, he was a dick. And he was like uncommunicative. He wouldn't talk to the experts. Like, he wouldn't do any of the games and stuff that they suggested. This is her first relationship ever. So like, she was trying to, like really like lean into this. She was like, this is my path to happiness. And he was just a fucking asshole during the whole time.
How old are they?
I don't remember. I think they're in their 20s. She's like 25 and he's like 28, I think. Ugh. But he was like a real dick, like to the point where he'd be like, he was so concerned with his optics on the fucking show that like, if they were like, tell us why you don't want to like, why are you leaving the apartment that you're supposed to be living in together and going back to your own apartment at night? Like, why, like what's going on? And he's like, I don't want to say it. I don't want to hurt Emily's feelings. I'm just trying to protect her. Like, he was such a gaslighter and narcissist that like, he thought everything he did was heroic. Yeah. So there was an episode where they went four wheeling. Right. And on one of their little vacations they take as groups, and she's accident prone and she makes jokes about it, but she went off the road in the ATV and split her head completely open. Whoa. He was the first one to get there and like held her head together. It was just blood all over the place. She had to get like 24 stitches on the side of her head. Whoa. And they kept filming, and he took care of her the whole time, and he was very nice and very took care of her. But then when she got better and they started talking about relationship piece stuff again, he held it over her, no pun intended, head, and was like, I saved your life and this is how you're going to treat me?
Oh, like, gosh.
Oh yeah. He's like, you don't think I like you? I saved your life, but you complain all the time and you're always negative. Like, he was very gaslighting to her. Then there was Becca and Austin, and they were the ones that everybody thought were going to last forever. Their parents loved each other. The parents loved them. Austin, again, was very concerned with the optics on the show. This is where I'm saying like the guys talking would get in each other's heads. And Austin would he did not want to fuck Becca. That's basically what it is. And he blamed, and then there was like a religious thing that they said was a problem, but I don't know if Austin isn't bisexual or closet. There was some, like he just, or that if he wasn't just not like attracted to her, but like the way he acted, it was like he couldn't express that he didn't want to have sex with her, but then like it was a weird way. He wasn't like just, he wasn't unattracted. Like they would, like he would purposely get himself so drunk that he couldn't hook up with her sometimes.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like he wouldn't say he was doing that, but as a viewer, you're like, well, this is what you're doing. And there were times that there was like, they went to go have sex and he like would go up and be like, I want to sleep in that bed because a famous person slept there, and like would run off.
Like their weird own excuses. Vacation. That's so strange.
Weird excuses. Yeah. And whenever it came up, she's like, I feel like you don't like me. He's like, no, I do. I really, really do. I really love you. And blah, 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 blah.
That's how the couple on Love is Blind made me feel too, is what's his face? Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying he was, I don't know what his sexual, I just felt like he didn't really like her and there was like excuses all the time, but yeah, that sounds similar.
So basically that's the couples, none of them stay together. Zero of them.
Not even Michael and Claire?
Nope.
What? Oh
man. So what, they just slowly break up as the season goes and the experts try to like help them back together, or they're just like goodbye?
So Lauren and Orion broke up at the honeymoon. Claire and Cameron broke up about 2 weeks after. They were all at a group dinner and they're like, he's like, on the count of three, let's say what we want to do. And everybody's like, what? No, you can't just do that. And he's like, yeah, we can do it. And she's like, okay. And he's like, one, two, three. And they're both like, separate. And they were like, okay.
At least they were on the same page and not one of them finding out at that very moment that the other.
I wish we had more time because there's so much stuff that we come to find out later, right? Like, this was such a manipulative season. Apparently, Claire was the girl's in school to be a mental health professional. She was like talking shit about all the guys behind the back. She was talking to Cameron outside of the cameras, being like, I'm still in love with my ex-boyfriend. I'm not attracted to you, but you can't say that. Don't you dare say anything on TV that's going to make me look bad. And then Cameron, like at the reunion, after they all broke up and they were all together, Cameron's like, she was telling me I couldn't fucking say shit. I couldn't fucking like say my real like thing. I had to act. That's why I look so weird on camera, because I'm sitting here with this woman who's pretending to like me when the cameras are on, but when the cameras are off, she wants nothing to do with me. Oh. And like threatening me that like, you better not say anything.
Wait,
and
then did she deny this at the reunion?
We haven't even had the reunion yet. This is just after the final. This is after decision day because they follow everybody for about like a week or two after decision day. So she denied it. Of course she denied it. And then the girls would gang up on the guys and be like, you were just here for optics. You didn't care about us. And the guys were like, you were telling us not to do shit and say stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like Becca accused Austin of hooking up or wanting to hook up with one of the producers. And she like Claire, this is another thing Claire did. Claire would like go to Emily and go, Brendan was talking to Cameron about going on double dates when this is all over. And then Emily is like calling Brendan out on this. And Brendan's like, that's not true. And Claire's kind of like back there like this, you know, and then acting all innocent and nice. And then she would text Becca, you know, and be like, hey, I saw Austin out with that producer you're not fond of. And then Becca would get upset at Austin. And that's like why they got divorced, because she called him out in front of everybody. And he was like, no, it's not true. And then the girls were like, we were there. We saw you. And he's like, fine, it's true. And she's like, and Becca's like, I can't trust you now. You know, that kind of shit. Even though she still was madly in love with him.
Oh,
and then,
God.
And then Brennan was fucking, you know, telling everybody about optics and like telling everybody that like Brennan would be like to Emily, like, you know, they have to do these videos that are their personal videos. And they would have to like look at like, you know, they talk into the camera when the other camera crew is not around, like their diaries. And Brendan would make go through the diaries and erase shit. But at the same time, Brendan's saying that Emily was saying that she would make his life hell after the show's over and all this other shit. These people just didn't like each other. And as much as you wanted to hate the guys through the season, because they were really, really, really emotionally immature people, the women at the end, you're turning around going, holy shit, maybe there's a reason these guys acted this way.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like crazy, the threatening to make someone's life hell and making someone erase shit. Like, that's like...
And you could tell these are the people that are in that relationship where it's like, I said this. And you're like, no, you said this. And it's like, no, I... And you know what I mean? And it's like their heads, you want to bang your head against the wall in those relationships. That's what like every single one of these relationships were, except for Michael and Claire. And Michael gave the same old fucking excuse that we've been watching on reality TV shows for the past 6 months, was he's just not ready.
Not ready.
Wait, it was Michael who wasn't. It wasn't because Claire was like vindictive and manipulative.
No, Claire was, or not Claire. What's the girl?
Yeah, Claire, you said Claire, by the way.
Right. Claire's with Cameron, the New Zealand guy. And then Chloe. That's what
it was. Oh, okay.
Chloe's with Michael. And Chloe... I know I said Claire this whole time. I'm so sorry, listeners. But Chloe, probably driving everybody crazy who watches the show. Chloe, I think that's her name. Now I have to fucking look it up.
Well, anyway, so Claire is not the one with Michael. Michael actually ended it with Chloe or whoever.
Yes, right. Because she said yes at the end. She said she wanted to stay together. And he said he wasn't ready. He gave the whole fucking, what's that dude's name from Love is Blind? That was with,
Clay
gave the same, exactly the same thing. Acted like he was saying yes, 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 all the way till the end, and then said, "I'm just not ready."
This is nuts. It sounds almost like the producers lost control and the cast members like had a coup on the show itself and took over each other and manipulated the filming and directed themselves. So, I mean, that's kind of scary. And I think, how do people still watch the show then? You know, moving forward, if you can't,
because it's just like Love is Blind. There are so many couples that are together, that have kids, that like work and they're happy, that like we know it works.
And so, I like, bet having you, the producers like love that they kind of went like off course and got a little cray, because I mean, they could reel them in if they wanted to, they could edit shit out, but they didn't, because they're like, this is good. Let them go. Like, let the wackiness ensue. Rob, if we were going to jump into Married at First Sight, because I've never seen the show, where do I start? Do I just start with this season? Like, what's your favorite season? Where should I start?
I mean, I started like 5 seasons ago, I think. This is 17, so I think I started on like 12.
But what should where should I start?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You should start like maybe back there. There was, what's the season you just watched, Jen,
with
the
guy? I think 12.
Yeah. Which was the guy that I said was one of the worst.
Yeah, but now you said this guy was the worst, Brennan or whatever. So I'm
he's bad. He's just an ass. Like, you're just like, ugh. You get the ick from him right away.
I think I want to start with season 17. I think I want to just start from now. But it's not over. The reunion hasn't happened yet, you're saying?
No, and they previewed the reunion. If you Love Is Blind, people who love that fucking shit, like that reunion, you want to see a real reality TV reunion, tune in on April 10th because these people are going for blood with each other.
Okay, good. Blood. I'm starting and I'm going to watch season 17.
I will actually pay to stream this.
Okay. You don't have to. It's on Lifetime. Do you not get Lifetime?
No, because I'm a cord cutter.
Oh, okay. Well, Hulu has live TV. You can just do that.
No, you have to have the actual network. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
No.
So whatever. Lauren and I will maybe invest in an account and catch up on this heinous mess. But thank you so much, Rob, for...
I don't even know if I made sense during that whole thing.
Yes, you did. Like, you're making me want to watch it.
Yeah. You just got two new viewer subscribers out of that. So great influence. And I think we're all going to have to tune in to the reunion. So,
well, we are definitely tuning in to Married at First Sight now, Rob. Thank you for getting us hooked and influencing us. And we are going to influence you guys to keep tuning into It's Complicated, where we talk dating and relationshipy stuff and reality and all of the things. And while you're there, please subscribe, rate, comment, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to join the class of master daters with us, then don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show. And Jen, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Jennifer Golden on all the social medias.
And you can find me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well. Bye.
Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.